Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Holly Penfield of the Voyager Band. Dr. Fred playing keyboard. May 15th, 2020. Actually, 2009. So I had a lot of Ustream viewers yesterday. Interesting because we did a two-hour show with somebody else yesterday. It was pre-recorded. And of course, the birds, but it was amazing how many people picked up on that show. So today we have me doing the show because my voice is working again. I actually lost my voice yesterday after an hour and a half in a two-hour interview. I had to take a break. And I got, Buddy, what are you doing over there? You going to eat my door up? Buddy's been, he's not a good co-host yet. And we got Steve Barry. You there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
So tell me about what's been going on with you since you did a great job on my show last week.
Oh, thank you. Just a lot of stuff is going on. The projector that I'm wearing, the platinum projector, is really going to town, so it's completely different.
Oh, yeah, you're wearing the platinum one?
Yeah.
So what's been happening?
Well, as you know, I've been able to go through the rear of the necklace, come out the front, and the gold in the necklace is actually protecting me. It's spreading around the aura. The gold is actually spreading around the aura and protecting. So it's quite interesting. It's quite a piece of jewelry.
Yeah, you got a high energy.
Very, very high energy.
You get a lot of calls yesterday after the show?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
How about your Saturday show? How's that doing?
Saturday show was pretty good. Saturday was basically about the same thing as I did on Friday night, which was really good. And I had a couple phone calls, and I'm starting to realize I need to give people just 15 minutes instead of a half hour.
What do you mean, talk?
Well, yeah, because I'm healing a lot of people, and, you know, one thing after another, they weren't healed. So I'm just going to give them 15 minutes apiece instead of a half hour.
Oh, and you work on them?
I work on them right across the radio, you know, and I'm bringing down a lot of energy from heaven. And so we're able to heal these people very, very quickly. And so it's really working well. Really working well.
Yeah, on the radio, 15 minutes is plenty. Most people give them like five, you know?
Yeah.
So you do a little overtime.
Yeah, I usually give 150%.
Oh, good.
You know, that kind of thing. But the necklace is becoming more powerful. Why, I don't know, but it's really increased a tremendous amount.
Well, you know, a lot of people we're getting all over the internet and all over the place with our message. I think that's my feeling, judging by the phone calls that come in and people ordering the stuff. This week was a little slower, but I mean, it comes in surges. Everybody wants to be a distributor now.
Right. I think what's happening is that we're coming into, or we are in the age of Aquarius, and I think things are really firing up a tremendous amount. I know that my nuclear receptor is really firing a lot.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot going on, and the light in back of the nuclear receptor is much brighter than it was, let's say, 2 weeks ago. So something really is going on in terms of energy. And so it's quite profound, and it's making a real big difference.
So, yeah, it's been watching the news and everything, and there's a lot going on. I mean, like you say, a lot of changing going on. It's interesting to watch Obama, and I've been working on my book, and I get a few more people online here, and I'm going to read a little bit out of it. Shocking stuff that's going on now.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, everything I've been writing about is shocking. It's funny because we covered the swine flu, phony flu, not very long ago. I was just writing that they were about time for him to do it, and I was in that chapter, about time for him to play the game, and before I finished the chapter, they were playing the game again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's so predictable.
Yes.
It's so predictable. And It's amazing. I'm just watching these, watching them put these more of these prisons together. You know.
Yeah.
And there's the FEMA prisons they're calling them now.
Yeah.
Government finally is starting to admit they've got all these things. It took them a while to admit it, you know, to anybody. So you got your car out?
No, actually, Fred, what happened? My transmission seized up.
What, is it automatic or?
No, it's a 5-speed. I think the synchros froze up or did something. I couldn't get out of gear today, so I took it back up.
Did you have
to...
oil in it?
Pardon?
Did you have oil in it?
Oh yes, plenty of oil.
Transmission oil.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Ford. What is that? A T5?
It's a T5, and it's quite a unit. And but for some odd reason, it froze up on me, and I don't know why. I've only had it 3 years, so and a Tremec transmission is supposed to be really one of the top in the world, and it just froze up on me. So I don't know why. So they're going to be tearing it apart next week to find out what's going on.
Is it under warranty or what?
I don't think so. The guy had the car about a year before I did.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so I sort of doubt it.
You been doing any power shifting?
No, I never power shift the car.
Okay.
Never. It's got way, way too much power for that.
Yeah, because, well, you know how to do it. But
yes.
A T5 with that slight car should be able to handle it. You might blow the rear end. I don't know what kind of rear end they have in those.
Well,
things.
It has a Dana, which is a real good rear end.
Yeah, you won't blow that up.
Yeah.
And, put Danas in those little cars?
Pardon?
That rear end weighs half as much as the car.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dana's a real, real good rear end, and so is the transmission. So I'm trying to figure out why the synchros would have gone after 3 years. It doesn't make sense because I don't really race it. I don't push it. I don't. It's not the kind of car you.
When you shifted it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I went to the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, today to go swimming, and when I came out, I couldn't move it. It just got locked up.
In what gear?
Second gear.
It's stuck in second, so you drove it home in second.
Yeah.
How'd you get it out of the driveway?
Well, it was real simple. What we did was there was four or five guys that pushed me backwards, and I just drove it home, and then I was able to drive it in second gear up to the place where I have it stored, and they were, you know, they got the transmission guy in right away to see what was going on, so they're going to tear it down next week.
So I said the shop. I mean, you store it in the shop where you bought it from, or what?
No, I store it actually at home during the summer months. Winter months, it's stored at that shop, and it's locked away for four or five months with a bunch of other cars.
Oh, okay.
You know, that kind of thing, because it does get cold here, rather cold.
Yeah, I was like, California, you can drive them all year round, you know.
That's the best part about it. And, you know, California, I sort of like California. It's really pretty.
Yeah, it makes sense out here, you know.
Well, you know what's interesting? It's warm around there all year round, but to be honest with you, I sort of like the seasons.
Yeah.
You know, the seasons are really nice, but this was a long winter this year, a very long winter.
Yeah, this one here was kind of a little... We don't get the rainfall we used to get out here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're in Temecula now.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's probably a little different than Laguna Beach.
It rains about the same. It does rain different. It was pouring down rain over there, and it wasn't raining here, and then it was pouring down rain over here for a couple of days. It didn't rain over there. So
wow.
We're only 19 miles from the ocean, if even that.
Really?
Yeah, we're really, it's Camp Pendleton. In fact, yeah. You're having an air show out there tonight.
Wow.
At Hemet tomorrow, there's a big air show.
That's cool.
I'm going to go ahead and, time is it here? Yeah. This second group of listeners, viewers, kind of winds up usually about half past the hour. I don't know, there must be another show ahead of me. So I'm going to read something to you. I want your opinion on it.
Okay.
It's out of my book.
All right.
This is one of the latter chapters dealing with, it's called Electronic Harassment Delivery Systems and Programs, but that's not, it's the shooting script, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get what your feeling is on this.
Sure.
I haven't even, what I'm writing on here is, let's see here, that's too far down. is Project Moonbeam, which is in place. It was supposed to be inaugurated back in the 80s, and it's just starting to kick in now because it has had a few delays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Now, this is what we're dealing with here is starts off, not the beginning page, but close to it on this chapter. A little bit of a quotation from Judy Wall out of Nexus Magazine in the October-November 1998 issue. And they were talking about high-tech psychological warfare arrives in the Middle East. It was an article.
Mm-hmm.
And describes a U.S. Psychological operation tactic. And in case you didn't know that, they call these things PSYOPs, directed against Iraqi troops in Kuwait during Operation Desert Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because a friend of mine was in one of the C-130s running the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Can't name his name, but I know when this was happening. The maneuver consisted of a system in which a subliminal mind-altering technology was carried on standard radio frequency broadcast. And what she was talking about was what's called a Leida machine, made in the 1950s by the Soviets. And the CIA purchased one through the Canadian Front for Dr. Ross Adet. And one still exists at the Loma Linda Medical Center where he used to work. He's deceased now, but he was one of the guys that did a lot of the early analysis of what the Russians were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I didn't read about the Russian hitting the embassy, did I?
No.
Okay. See if I should read that first. Let me just see here. No, it's not in this chapter. It was in a previous. Just looking here for a second here. Yeah, here. Let me just go back a little bit further. We got a little time here.
Sure.
This all started for me about 1975 when I was lecturing for the National Health Federation conference in Chicago, Illinois. An elderly couple approached me claiming that there was a gray van parked in front of their apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of it was a small dish-like antenna that was pointed directly at the part of the building where the apartment was. At night, when they were going to bed, they felt very uneasy. They had hot flashes and sometimes either heard voices in their heads or experienced the tinnitus ringing in their ears.
Mm-hmm.
Later, they said two men that were in the van actually moved into the empty apartment adjacent to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They said at that point, the intensity of the unpleasant experiences increased. Okay, when you work in the preventive medicine world, which includes energy medicine therapy, which I've been doing for 40 years, you hear a lot of strange things, especially from the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
I now feel that the elderly actually make better observations and therefore witness what others miss. Anyway, at this time in my life, I had not learned this lesson yet, so I dismissed the conversation. But then a month later, when I was in Miami, Florida, got a little feedback ring here. Hang on, turn the sound down. When I'm giving another lecture for the National Health Federation, I had another couple who was not familiar with the Chicago folks give me a similar story. Now my curiosity began to rise. As we continued through the United States that year, lecturing in major cities everywhere, I began to hear the same story over and over from many different people. And by the end of 1975, due to an incident in Russia, I finally had one of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my learning process here.
Mm-hmm.
The United States started work relations with the Soviets during World War II and established a lend-lease mission in Moscow. This mission was housed in a building on the Moscow River close to the Kremlin, right next door to the British and the other embassies. When full diplomatic relations were established, an embassy replaced the mission. So in 1952, the Soviet government asked the United States to move to its Chancery building from the neighborhood of the Kremlin to Chevosky Street, several miles away. An empty apartment house had been reconstructed for the use of the American Chancery. Before the move had occurred, the Soviets had a chance to rebuild the building from the inside out, which is another story.
Mm-hmm.
Periodic electronic surveillance of all the offices of the Chancery was carried out, and in 1953, a peculiar signal was picked up. It was intermittent but varied in frequency from about 2 gigahertz to 7 gigahertz. It was operating in an intermittent mode. Because of the very important American dignitaries housed there, the State Department decided to take over the complete surveillance of this particular type of microwave signal that was present in the embassy
mm-hmm. on a
very definite and routine basis.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically, spectrum analyzers, bolometers, which is a microwave power reading equipment, and other equipment measured the actual intensity identifying the various frequencies. From 1953 until May 28, 1975, there was a single source beaming the west facade of the Chancery building, starting about the sixth floor, peaking around the tenth floor on the roof. The north, south, and east had no evidence of any beaming whatsoever. The maximum intensity up to May 28, 1975 was 5 microwatts. By the end of May in 1975, two beams appeared hitting the embassy. One from the east and the other side on the other side of Chavosky Street, and one from the site of a high-rise Soviet building.
Mm-hmm.
In one place in the southeast corner, two beams converged. Okay, so the two beams are now converging. Later on, I found out the examination was called Project Pandora. Following this, the State Department, the CIA, and the DOD, which is Department of Defense, launched a similar group of programs known as TUMS, MUTS, and BAZAAR. It was later determined that among the consensus among the Soviet EMR researchers, electromagnetic radiation researchers, that being such as the Moscow signal was destined to produce blurred vision and loss of mental concentration. In an article by the Boston Globe, it was reported that the American ambassador had not only developed leukemia-like blood diseases, but also suffered from bleeding eyes and chronic headaches.
Mm-hmm.
It was further found out that the embassy employees had a 40% higher than average white blood cell count. Now, it turned out that the two beams converging in that west corner, that was where the ambassador's office was. Of course, to the CIA, this was nothing different. They had already done that to others. When I found out about this research, it was the end of 1975.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I developed a device that would break up this radiation, convert it to friendly energy, and then transmit the unwanted components back into the ground. And this later became known. This device became later on known worldwide as the Pyridine Star Orb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the intro. That's where the Star Orb came from. That's when we first made it. It was 1975. I thought you'd get it.
Right.
A kick. Now, having presented the introduction to the world of ELF and its related harassing effects, let me give you a synopsis of some of the symptoms that people have experienced and recorded. And those of you out there, you might tune into this. Here's some of the symptoms. Sleep deprivation and fatigue, malaise and irritability, shortening of the attention span, daytime fatigue attacks, cataracts, blood changes that induce heart attacks, cancer and malignancies, circulatory problems, permanent deterioration of the central nervous system, blurred vision, loss of concentration, violent muscle triggering, whole body jerks, like we talked about in the pyramids, when you put the pyramid over your bed, it stops that.
Right.
Shaking the body, heat flashes and artificial fever, shortness of breath, loss of control of vocal cords, unable to control thoughts while reading, spotlighting of memory wherein more normal forgetfulness occurs, hypnotic triggers, specific phrases or other clues, which causes involuntary actions, urinary problems, sudden sexual urges, suicide and homicidal thoughts, full panic attacks in the case of a coincident implant, violent and criminal action. Now, how do you like that for what they get out of these little beaming devices? Okay.
Yep. I think that's still going on today, Fred. Even.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm leading up to that. All right. I'm leading up to it. Okay, the following are a few things that would happen in the environment around a targeted person. Okay. These are some of the things that will happen around a person.
Mm-hmm.
Stoppage of power to appliances. Manipulation of appliance settings, temporary failures that fix themselves, movement of objects, often off the shelf under the floor causing breakage, precision manipulation of switches and controls, forced premature failure of appliances or parts, vast computer failures and errors. Several of these events describe and often mimic what happens to individuals when they are in an extremely haunted environment. In addition, there are several different through-the-wall surveillance methods now in use, and these are really getting popular. Filtered down through governments to agencies to law enforcement. One is called millimeter wave scanning, whereby a microwave signal just below the infrared region is used. In addition, there is a technique called thought reading. This is accomplished by remotely monitoring the electromagnetic activity of the speech control muscles in the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we read or think aloud or sometimes just think, we subconsciously move our vocal muscles. This creates the electromagnetic signature that can be compared with a huge data bank of emotional pre-recorded responses made possible by our superconductor technology. A lot of these, of course, brought in on Project Echelon from your phone conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Another type of thought reading is a mining process whereby a signal is sent into the brain and the results and resulting disturbing frequencies are monitored electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I already read the next thing. We talked about the thing that started at Operation Desert Storm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that the LIDA machine was brought in by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ross Adet, former brain researcher of the University of Southern California, and before his recent death, worked at Loma Linda, a university medical school, on the CIA's infamous Pandora Project. We already talked about his research involved inducing a specific behavior modifications by electromagnetic means, as well as inducing calcium efflux events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a calcium efflux event is, and this is more and more coming into vogue right now, is a microwave or electromagnetic process that controls calcium ions on the receptor sites of the brain, therefore creating psychological, emotional, and immune system degradation effects to interfere with the brain function. And this is called confusion weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
In 1980s, Dr. Adet just demonstrated how a 147 megahertz field with a power level of 0.8 milliwatts per square centimeter caused an efflux, or release of calcium ions from irradiated brain tissue. The response only occurred when the 147 megahertz carrier frequency was modulated 6 to 20 hertz, which is considered ELF. So in other words, what they're doing here is they'll use a ham band or a ham radio frequency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll stick an ELF component in it, which is, you know, something between 0 and 18 cycles per second.
Yes.
That's ELF. That's why the Star Orb is so good for that stuff.
Yeah.
In the 1980s, Dr. Adet demonstrated how 100 and... Secondly, the police... So this is interesting. Secondly, the police now have been granted the exclusive use of the 450 megahertz microwave frequency range.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact frequency used by Dr. Adet on his CIA mind control work for behavioral modification.
Mm-hmm.
Adet found that using low-intensity microwave frequencies of 450 megahertz with ELF modulation, in other words, moving on FM rate that is ELF frequencies, he can control all aspects of human behavior. It was further announced on February 5, 2001. Now listen to this. Hold your breath on this one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The big one. A home office microwave system called Tetra, which was called Pandora by the CIA, is to be the mainstay of the British police force communications and will be placed in every major population center. The British government is, as we speak, spending £2.5 billion on the 400 megahertz pulse-modulated microwave transmitter network with a broadcast frequency of 17.6 hertz, ELF,
mm-hmm.
to the brain of the British police force and anyone living near the planned 30,000 transmitters.
That's
30,000. The first transmitters were deployed in Glastonbury, which is the metaphysical center of the world, practically,
mm-hmm.
because that's where people go to meditate from all over the world.
Yeah.
Imagine what they're getting in their head.
Yeah.
The Tetra system will also be deployed in New York and London in the underground subway system.
That's incredible. That
has been done. It might be noteworthy here that there have been several serious confrontations in both New York and London subways since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the symptoms of TETRA are short and long-term memory disrupting caused by the calcium efflux of brain synapses, disruption of synaptic neural networks leading to the behavioral and character changes, maniac behavior, which was going on in the subways, followed by, remember that guy, the one cop back there just shot the guy in the head, remember?
Yes.
And
yes.
They got him up for murder. Now they had this guy in the subway in New York, and he was about five guys. They had him all held down. He wasn't acting up, and the cops just pulled his gun out and shot him right through the head. Remember that?
Yep.
About 3 months ago.
Yep.
That's what you're getting now. Okay. Behavioral and character changes, maniac behavior, followed by nervous exhaustion after use or development exposure, disruption of higher brain functioning, leading to the so-called zombification development of precancerous cells, and a negative effect on the limbic system, leading to emotional and behavioral modification.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for this ELF major control response is because the human DNA resonates in the 375 to 425 megahertz range. The wavelength of such resonance is between 2 and 3 feet. Years ago, when I saw this mind control coming, I developed a device called the nuclear receptor to neutralize and negate these negative effects.
Yes.
Part of its operational capabilities depends on its antenna length, which also doubles as a support chain, and to determine the proper length for this device to negate the mind control frequencies was between 28 and 31 inches.
Mm.
A company called Silent Sounds Incorporated received a U.S. patent number 5,159,703 for developing a system using supercomputers to analyze human emotional EEG patterns and replicate them.
Mm-hmm.
And then store these emotions, they call them emotional signature clusters, on another computer, and it will slightly inducing change in the emotional state of the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after filing the patent, the U.S. government, according to Edward Tilton, president of Silent Sounds Incorporated, the U.S. government classified all the schematics, and now the patent is hard to find. Believe me, it is. It's there, and I had to really search to find it.
Yeah.
However, Tilton states, we make tapes and CDs for the German government and even the former Soviet Union countries, all with the permission of the U.S. State Department.
Mm-hmm.
The actual patent date, if you want to make note of it out there, is October 27, 1992. That's October 27, 1992, entitled Silent Subliminal Presentation System by Dr. Oliver Lorry of Norcross, Virginia.
Wow. Wow.
Now, here we go a little further. I'm stepping back a little bit now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 1998, a news item stated that General John P. Jumper predicts the military will have the tools to make potential enemies see, hear, and believe things that do not exist, and that the same idea was contained in a 15-volume study of the United States Air Force Scientific Study Advisory Board issued in 1966 on how to maintain U.S. air and space superiority of the battlefields of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
General Jumper retired as the Chief of Staff of the United States Air Force on September 2nd, 2005. He was the Chief of Staff, like a five-star. Born in Paris, Texas, that's where Bush is from, he originally joined the Air Force in June of 66 after graduating from the military, Virginia Military Institute with a degree in electrical engineering. The guy's no idiot.
Mm-hmm.
In Lexington, Virginia, while in the employ of the United States Air Force, check this out, he spent time at the Royal Air Force in Bentwaters, England, tons of UFO sightings there, major stuff, while in the employ, okay, Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, that's the control base for Area 51 and the site of alien reverse engineering experimentation, and Langley Air Force Base, CIA headquarters. I would imagine he would have had first-hand experience in making those comments.
Wow.
Huh?
Yes.
I could read more. I could read the Blue Beam Project is coming down on the system, which is a whole bunch more reading here. I'll read this some other time, or it's in the book, but how does that grab your apple?
Well, it's really incredible, Fred, because I think a lot of that is going on today, but it's so bad that I know a lot of my clients, they are in sleep deprivation. They haven't had a good night's sleep in months.
That's why they're getting targeted.
They're getting zapped.
That's right.
And I believe that you're absolutely right. I think there's a lot going on. I think these people that have committed suicide, murders, whatever the case may be, something is going on that's causing that to happen. It's just not, I think antidepressants are in the way.
Well, no, remember, in my previous chapters before this one, I explained how a lot of these generals, like at State Department, be like Rumsfeld and others,
yes,
own stock in the, you know, in the military complex and in the drug company.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you expect them to do? I mean, Rumsfeld, this last go-around, and I got this in my book, this last go-around, because he owns 5 million shares of Gilead Corporation, which invented Tamiflu in 1992,
mm-hmm.
right? Which the stocks of those days were a couple bucks a share.
Yes.
In 76, when he first tried to launch a swine flu thing, they drove the shares up to, I don't know, 20 bucks or so. And then, in the middle of a month ago, about a month ago today, April 12th, when they launched that down in Veracruz, Mexico, where they released the virus down there,
mm-hmm.
exactly in that town. And that's, I wrote about that because of the conflict between, you know, the drugs and the Mexico. They went to Mexico and just zapped them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That point till now, the stocks rose from $37 to $47 a share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means that Donald Rumsfeld, in the last month, on those 5 million shares, how much did he make? Let's see, $10 a share times 5 million? Run those numbers by out there, ladies and gentlemen. That sounds like $50 million the man made.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's on Newsweek magazine, a big thing, and it's all crap. You know, more people will die from the Tamiflu as they have in Japan and other places. They're going insane. Because it's not going to do anything about it, because there is no swine flu.
Yep.
You know? It's just another rhinovirus that's slightly mutated. And they're trying to make a big deal out of it. You know? And what they're trying to do, as Lynn Horowitz has been pointing out, is they're trying to launch two or three different flu strains to get them to, you know, get into your body where they can really do some damage if you don't
yes.
keep your immune system up. That's why
yes.
they make all these healthcare products and these receptors. So we're bulletproof with this stuff, but a lot
you
of
know,
people aren't.
I think the interesting part about it is that last week I was talking about the nuclear receptor and how that actually stops everything from coming into the body.
Yeah.
I mean everything, including carbon monoxide, poisons, anything that's out there is stopped before it even hits the body.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize the impact of what's happening in this country. I think their heads are in the sand, and they really don't understand it. And I think the nuclear receptor, and I wear both. I wear my nuclear receptor and the projector, and it stops a lot of stuff from happening. I know I got clients that come in that are so tired they can't even go to work.
Yeah,
I mean it's terrible. Whatever is happening out there, whatever is going on is absolutely terrible. There's no excuse for anybody to hurt another person like that.
I know, but it's all about mind control, thought control.
Yes.
And martial law and all the stuff they're
yes.
trying to do. I mean, people don't think this is happening right now.
It's happening.
I even wrote about the mortgage thing in my book and how that factors in one of the earlier chapters. You know, the mortgage thing, just to make it a long story short, is to get Americans to spend their savings.
Yep.
And then they become vulnerable.
Yep.
And the government, it's all about fascism. And then the government comes in and grabs the, already has, nationalizes the banking system, then controls their credit card and their spending. And now they have control over everybody. You know, that uses a credit card, it relies on it. I don't rely on them. I use them, but I don't care. If I didn't have one, I'd be fine. I wouldn't need it, you know.
You know what's interesting, Fred, is I remember George Norrie a couple years ago talking about concentration cars.
Yeah.
In Alaska, 10,000 of them put aside waiting for something to happen. 10,000.
Yeah.
I'll never forget George Norrie saying that. I woke up out of a sleep when I heard that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, Fred, and I think you're absolutely right. This book is going to wake up a lot of people. It's really going to wake up a lot of people.
Yeah, and this is, look how, I mean, those of you out there, look how thick that manuscript is. That's 8.5 by 11.
Yeah.
It's approaching 2 inches now.
Wow.
I don't know how big, but it's almost as big. It's probably about the size of the other one, The Reigns of Truth. It's just about that size
really?
Right now. It's about, wow. That's going to be about 500 pages.
That's incredible.
Sure, I told the publisher a couple hundred pages. I think we passed that up a long time ago.
But I think the technology is, I think it surpasses a lot. I know that we talked to a gentleman one time that was, I forget his name, but he was talking about the satellites and how they control people and how they can actually get into the mind and cause trouble.
Well, I have all that here. I've got that. I'm working on that. That's part of Project Moonbeam with the K.
Right, right.
Eagle.
That's the one.
Seven
Project
series
Moonbeam.
Satellites. It's in here. I got
right.
It.
Right. And I think it's, why? I mean, why do they want to do that? It's crazy.
I know. And the bottom line is they're not going to succeed. And we've already built shields. And we're trying to educate people here, you know, into what's going on. And slowly but surely, I think people are in a state right now that I don't think they really care right now. I think they're kind of drugged out, you know.
Well, I think what's happening, Fred, is that between the televisions and the radios and all the stuff that's going across the wires that are lowering people's minds, I mean they're putting people to sleep.
Oh, I agree.
You know, they're putting people to sleep, and I think it's a damn shame more people aren't aware of what's going on. Now, I know when I put on my nuclear receptor, I can actually feel the frequencies go up in my body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just surrounds you with tremendous energy, and none of that crap can come in.
Yeah, well, I would think that I would be a good target because of the echelon being on my phones, and I guess it's everybody's, because I'm writing this book. And I'm
right.
sure that energy is around, but I got all my devices up around here, and they work fine.
Yep.
I don't have any of those symptoms. I don't have one of those symptoms, none
right.
of them.
Right, right.
In fact,
right.
I don't even get tired half the time. I have to sort of like say, you better go to bed now because you got to get up after a while. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
But I'm not depressed or any of this stuff because, you know, this stuff bounces off me, but I know it's going on.
It's incredible, Fred. It's just, I think... You know, it's like the pharmaceuticals. They spend more money on how not to fix somebody than they do fixing them.
Yeah, well, the pharmaceuticals don't fix you anyway.
No.
They cover up the symptoms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I think your book is right on target. Absolutely on target.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, the thing about it is that I was there. It's like in this, what I was talking about... Bud Whelan, you know, Bud Whelan, after Bissell took Charles Bissell, he was the head of the CIA back during, he was the one that was running the CIA when the U-2 went down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gary Powers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that.
May 6th, 1954,
mm-hmm.
Eisenhower. Eisenhower didn't want, that was the 18th mission of the U-2 over Russia, and they didn't want to do that, and it was the deepest one.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
time they got it, and
yep.
The missile brought it down. And they knew that the technology would bring one of those down, but they did it anyway. So, well, Bissell, he left after that, and Bud Whelan took over. And Bud Whelan was the director of the CIA from 56 or so up into the 60s. And he was there, and he was the guy that worked with Wernher von Braun and got the missiles up in the sky. And he was a physicist, by the way, by training, very smart
right.
man.
Right.
But he directed the CIA and got the keyhole satellites up, the first ones. I think they went up to KH-4B, I think
mm-hmm.
was the last one that he launched, if I remember correctly, number-wise. And then he retired on the CIA, and he went over to Hughes Aircraft and took over the... In Fullerton and in Los Angeles, and that was in 66, he went over there. He left the CIA in 66, and he went to Hughes. They hired him on as pretty high up in management. Well, his department, you know, he had about five departments under it, and they were all my clients.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I did engineering work over there with him as a consultant, and supplied a lot of instrumentation. And Bud and I became friends.
Yes.
With Whelan. And so we didn't talk about what he did at the CIA. As a matter of fact, he never even told me he worked at the CIA before that. I found out much later.
Mm-hmm.
Bud, he was like my mentor. Mm-hmm. This guy was so smart in missile technology, so smart in stealth technology. This guy taught me a lot. I just loved this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he became vice president of Hughes Aircraft of the Space and Missile Division eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to spend, you know, about a year with the man,
right.
Off and on, and all of his engineers. And so, I mean, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about this stuff, and I was over at TRW all the time, they were working with Hughes. They were right down the street there on Sepulveda in El Segundo. And so I spent a lot of time at TRW, too, and got to know everybody. And then there was a little Air Force base, and one of my friends was a general over there who was, well, really famous. I didn't know he was famous, you know, that famous. I just knew him as his general.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the directors between the Hughes effort and the TRW effort for stealth satellite technology. And
mm-hmm.
here I am selling all the equipment, consulting to him. So I got to put this all goes in the book. So I'm speaking not just as a guy that did some, you know, digging in. I was there. I talked to these guys. We had conversations. We had lunch. You know,
yep.
We broke bread together. And sometimes in the evenings we'd have dinner and a few drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And they say a lot more at dinner time when they drink. And it was a lot of fun. I did that for about 10, 15 years before I started Paradigm.
Wow.
But that's all part of my book, which is cool. So I'm actually writing this having lived it, you know, from when I was a kid.
Well, nobody knows it better than you do, kiddo.
Yeah, I'm learning, you know. I mean, I didn't know exactly where it was all going, but I sure as heck now know where it started from because I was there and watched it. I didn't
yep.
know it was going to this. I didn't realize the mind control was the end result of the whole world. To me, it was just defense systems at the time, you know. That's what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was cool. And spy systems, you know.
You know,
we were
yeah.
still spying on the Russians. We wanted to know everything they did,
yeah.
what they were doing. If they were doing nuclear, and other countries that were doing nuclear at the time, it's before HAARP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I got out of it, HAARP was just getting set up, so I had to go through friends of mine in the industry to learn about HAARP. But boy,
yeah.
you should see what I'm writing about HAARP right now. Whoa!
Yeah, I can imagine.
Freak out on that one. Well,
I can imagine.
How they manipulated Katrina, how they manipulate solar wind, how they work with the equinoxes of the Earth and its tilt with the sun. To add
yep.
and subtract energies
yep.
to control the weather and to control, you know, earthquakes, create
yes.
tidal waves.
Yes.
You know, they're orchestrating this thing called Project Moonbeam, which is basically orchestrating to the King James Bible of the changes coming in the time of a period of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
mm-hmm.
a big setup, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, what's his name, that general, I just read his name, said, you know, they're going to make you see things and believe things. And there is going to be the scare of an extraterrestrial invasion, but that doesn't come yet. They got to get fascism much more entrenched than
they
do now.
It's almost like we're talking about the Fourth Reich.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody wants to call in, you got the call-in numbers, right? In front of you, or do you want
yes,
me to read
them? Yes, I have
them
on my desk. Hold on.
Huh?
Hold on, I'll go get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have phone numbers to call in. But
yeah, if they want to call in, we got 15 minutes. Anybody has any questions?
There's a lot of good stuff going on here. I think it's fantastic.
I got a lot of Ustream listeners now, or watchers, but they missed out on the first part of the reading. A lot of them did, so they'll have to go back and do the archive.
Yeah.
Get the whole
yeah.
gist of what we're doing now. You guys got to get tuned in at the early part of the show, because we did a lot of reading here at the very beginning this time. We don't usually
yeah.
do it, but we're going to start doing more of it.
I think it's really important, Fred, that all this is getting out and people know what's going on.
Yeah, if you missed the show or come in late, you can always go to Ustream Archives, the Fred Bell Show. It's the-Fred-Bell-Show.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
at BBS Radio, all
yeah.
these shows are archived the next day.
Yeah.
And on Saturdays, I do a educational pre-tape series every Saturday, which will be tomorrow, which will be covering the basics of what this is all about. But
yep.
it's more on a basic educational level. This is the
I think
front,
it's important for people to realize
right now,
what's going on. And I think you're opening up their eyes a lot, Fred.
I love so. But I like to see them get some action going here, you know.
Yeah.
Start paying attention, right? Their congressmen, their senators. Start quoting the Pandora Project. Start quoting the Mutz Project. Say, hey, what's this? What's that? Where's that at now?
Right.
Start waking these people up, because these senators aren't going to know. They're going to want to find out.
Right.
We'll start a big movement. After the book comes out, then we'll start a movement, you know,
that book's
a congressional
be very
movement behind the book. That's too premature now. We need the ammunition of the book so we can send each senator and each congressman a book. That'll really stir them up.
Boy, that would really stir things up, wouldn't it?
Oh, we started them up pretty good at the Bohemian Grove. You know, Alex Jones sneaks in. I didn't have to. I just handed them a Rays of Truth book out to everybody up there that mattered. They all have them.
Right.
That was a couple years ago.
Right.
A friend of mine was one of the managers of the whole program, so he just handed out to the cool people. He took a couple cases of my books and handed them out.
Right. Wow.
That was a different book. It wasn't a political expose on mind control technology like this one is.
Yeah.
Pros and cons, you know.
Yeah.
You get your numbers?
I'm looking for it, Fred. Give me a minute.
All right.
I'm looking for it. I got it computer
here.
There's
birds here today. Abella's being good.
Is that the bird that's doing all the talking?
Oh, that's Buddy in the background. Bella's only talks on the show when she's supposed to.
Ah.
Talking.
I know somebody's talking over there.
That's Buddy. He's up there. He wants to be a co-host along with Bella, but his birthday's on May 23rd.
Right.
She's over 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's getting to be, you know, a seasoned veteran here.
Right, right.
He got out of his house today, and he crawled across the counter and half ate about three or four potatoes, just shredded
right.
the potatoes.
Right.
Raw potatoes. So he's like Dennis the Menace. We should call him Dennis the Menace.
Ah.
So he wouldn't stay on his stand over here. He kept running around. So I put him on my shoulder, and he started to chew my ear off and then eat my hat.
Right.
So I had to put him back over there. He's behind me now. He's behind me. Now the sun has shifted in the last week. It doesn't shine in the window anymore. I was going to put a shade up back there. But
yep.
Luckily, it doesn't do that now.
Well,
all right, I'll just give the numbers out. I got them looking right at them.
I got them right here. 1-530-776-5185 for line one. Toll free is 888-815-9756. So if anybody wants to call in, we're more than happy to talk to you.
Yeah, 530-776-5144.
Yeah, 876-9916. And the big number, which is worldwide, which is toll-free, is 888-815-9756.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at station, too. Huh. We got so many phone numbers at BBS Radio now.
Yeah.
Can't even keep track of them anymore. I would have given out the wrong numbers. That's funny. I wonder what our phone bill is up there these days.
Boy, that's got to be expensive.
Yeah.
I think the interesting part, Fred, is that you're making people very aware of what things are happening and how it's happening. I think it's really wonderful that you're able to make contact with people and have them understand what's going on. You put it in a language that's very understandable, and I think it's really important that people realize what is actually going on and why they're sleepy and why they're tired and why their minds aren't clear.
Yeah,
I think
and
it's really,
it can be
really
a lot
important
more productive. And the main thing is their attitudes aren't very good. They want everybody. They want to send all the business over to China because they don't want to work.
Well, the thing is that's why we're running into so much trouble.
Yeah.
Because everything is going to China.
Yeah, and the Chinese hold the paperwork from the banks on their house mortgages now.
You bet.
Well, people got to wise up and get smart and make sure their kids do their homework and stuff, you know.
I think Obama's doing a good job. I think he's doing the best that he possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember when Clinton left office? He was still in the news for another year and still is?
Yep.
Have you heard one snippet of news about Bush since he left?
Yep.
Have you heard anything about Bush?
Not one word.
Me neither. What does
not
that tell
one
you?
One word.
Not a word.
It's like he disappeared off the planet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and what's her name? White, I forget her first name. The head of FEMA was on, not FEMA, but the head of EPA was on Comedy Central last night, the lady mm-hmm. that took over. She's got 17,500 employees, and she runs
wow.
the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. She runs it.
Mm-hmm.
She's the hot
mm-hmm.
top dog.
Right.
Very nice lady. Very sweet. Very humorous. And, of course, the guy that, I forget his name, the comedian, who was on her, she was on his show, she says to him, it wasn't Bill Maher, it was somebody else,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to her, well, is anybody going to go to work over there now? She laughs and she says, we did a lot of work, we couldn't get it out there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, how many people you got? She says, 17,500. And then he says, how many of them are politically appointed? And she says, 23.
Wow.
Some from the Senate, some from the House.
Yep.
And he says, well, do they do anything? And she says, well, we're trying to get them to do something, you know. I mean, she was candid.
Yeah.
And then he hit her with a bunch of jokes about, you know, carbon, you know, the global warming. And she said, I'm aware we have global warming and it's a problem. She admitted it, you know.
Yeah.
And we're working on it. And we're working on it with Obama's plan through what's called marketing strategy, which means that they're not going to put the little guy out of business.
Right.
Doing
right.
it. With too many regulations, and that's what George Bush exactly was doing. He didn't give a shit about anybody. He put everybody out of business if he had to, except the oil companies, which were the grand polluters anyway.
Well, what's interesting is when you were talking about old man Bush and those 27 super tankers that he was...
65.
65.
Yeah.
And he was bringing that oil over as fast as he possibly could.
$500 million of fuel a load and
yeah.
putting it in the ground in Texas where you know, so that they could have it for later.
Yep.
I found out that we have 1 trillion barrels of shale oil up north.
Isn't that incredible?
1 trillion barrels. We need to get rid of it, but we don't need the Arabs to, you know, the Far Eastern Arab countries to the Emirates to supply our fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost a whole lot more to pull our own oil out, you know, out of shale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reserves that we have are 5 times in shale. What they have over there, it's estimated now. That I found out, too. 5 times the oil in this country, in our continental boundaries.
I think what we need to do for the last couple of minutes, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
If somebody is interested in finding out more about nuclear receptors or the projectors and how they work, they need to call in so we can give them an idea how they work and we could actually show them.
Yeah, why don't you explain them a little bit? Because we got about 3 minutes here.
Is that what we have, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
The nuclear receptor, actually what that does is it cuts out all ELF. It cuts out everything that's out there that is
it's
bad
true.
For us.
Yeah.
And it takes the frequencies right through the roof. Nothing can come through. And it's really, really good. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've been wearing one for about 10 years now, and it's just absolutely incredible. And the projector, I'm still working on that and starting to realize that the projector is even doing more than what we thought it was doing.
Well, that's usually what happens with this stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I have, from an engineering standpoint and a biological standpoint, it's like electrobiological engineering.
Right.
I predict what they might be capable of, and that's about the best I can do. And I've already spent, you know, when the first Perceptor came out, I probably had $100,000,
mm-hmm.
1981 money.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be today? $300,000, $400,000 of my own money, just, you know, into it on the idea this was going to help people.
Yes.
You know, I was practically penniless when I finished developing, getting the first one made, but that's the way I am. You know,
yep.
I put it all out there. This book, you know, it's taken me away from the business world where I make the money to write this book. But the book's really more important. The money will come when it's supposed to. You know, that's
right,
the way I look
right.
at it.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can talk about the projector and the receptor tomorrow night on my show. I think it's really important to do that, Fred.
Yeah, you go ahead. That'd be great.
And I'll tell people more about it. And I'm starting to realize the power of the master crystal.
Yeah, we've been selling a few of those lately.
Unbelievable power in that Master Crystal, and it's the only stone that I've ever seen that thinks.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. I've actually seen shards of energy come off the Master Crystal and go in the body.
Wow.
It's a tremendous, tremendous crystal. I remember you talked me into this, yeah, and I fought you on it for months.
I know it.
And all of a sudden, there it is. It's working, and I've had people on the table tell me the crystal is warming up their gut, it's warming up their heart, it's warming up their intestines. It's really incredible. So these things really do work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the incredible part about it. They really work.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, so I'll discuss that tomorrow night because I really love talking about something that really works.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll do. What time is it? It's
8:57.
8:57?
Yeah, we're basically about done here.
Okay.
Yeah, listen to Steve's show. Go ahead. What time is it tomorrow? 3
oh,
p.m.,
yeah.
Right?
My show is on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
It's the Steve Barish Healing Hour. And we'll continue the conversation tomorrow night.
Oh, well, that's Voyager coming back. There's Holly Penfield coming back. Thanks for being on the show, Steve. We had fun. You were great last week.
Thank you.
I think I'll have you on every other week. I almost lost my voice tonight. I think it's the dry climate here. I'm not quite used to it. I'm used to a little bit of ocean air, you know?
Yep.
Thank you, you streamers. There's quite a group of you out there. And BBS loyal listeners, tell your friends. We're getting calls from all the way from Israel now. I think that's a good sign. And you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, bbsradio.com. My number is 1-800-729-2603. That's Bella Bird and Buddy Bird in the background.